There's something very special about the song right before the message. I was in a meeting one time and Tony Hudson was preaching, and he likes it like that. And the guy got up to sing a song that really didn't speak to Brother Tony's heart right before he got up to preach. And so he got up and he led in a hymn, and we sang a few verses, then it got him ready to preach. But I'm ready to preach. After a song like that. Thank you, Brother Joe. Joshua chapter 4. We saw Joshua chapter 3 on Sunday night, and we began some things. We stuck our feet in the water, got our feet wet a little bit, and crossed over the Jordan. And tonight we're going to look at what happens when we get across the Jordan River and we get into the promised land, into the victorious Christian life. And I just want to read a few verses, just a few verses in Joshua chapter number 4, verse 19. The Bible says, "And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the month, 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever." Tonight I'd like to preach on this subject. What mean these stones? What mean these stones? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. And Lord, I pray that you'll guide me as I preach. Fill me with thy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you will help me again to say only that which you'd have me to say. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts. And Lord, let us leave this place knowing we've been with Jesus. And help us to enter this new year ready to serve you and serve you with our whole heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's look here in this chapter, in Joshua chapter 4. We just read a few verses, but we'll look at a few others. We'll look at a few others here in just a minute. Number one, I want to look at the construction. The construction. The children of Israel crossed over on dry land. And just to give you, just to bring you up to date in case you missed Sunday night or don't know the story, the children of Israel got to the Jordan River, and Joshua commanded all the people, saying, when the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant stick their feet right in the edge of the water, the Jordan River is going to part, and we're all going to go across on dry ground. And they did. And after they got across, God said to Joshua that he wanted one member, a leader from each of the 12 tribes, to get 12 stones, to get a stone. And they built monuments. They built monuments, one inside on the river, inside the riverbed before the waters came back over, and one on the other side of the Jordan, these monuments, these stones. And that way when the children walked by, they could say, Daddy, what are those stones for? And you could say, well, these stones are for, like we just read. And we'll get into that some more in a minute. But let's look at the construction. God did something in the lives of the children of Israel on that day. Remember, Joshua said, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And he had done wonders, and he was about to do some more wonders. And they've crossed the Jordan River and built these monuments. And you know, the Bible says that when they picked them up, you know, they weren't little tiny pebbles that they stacked up. These were big stones. And big monuments. I mean, if they were just little pebbles when they walked, nobody would see it, in other words. And it was for people to see. They wanted everybody to see what God had done for them. And we're about to enter into 2009, about to leave behind 2008. And we need to remember some things. We need to look back at all that God's done for us. God has done so much. And we need to look back and see that. So we've gone now from the construction. Now we go down to the commemoration, the construction. Actually, excuse me, before we leave the construction, I don't want to miss this. I don't want you to miss it. What's God doing in your life? Do you have any monuments that you're able to build in your life to something that God's done? Somebody once said to me, if the only evidence of my Christian life, the only evidence of things that God has done in my life is my salvation, then something's wrong. If all I can do, if I can say, well, God's done some great things for me. He saved me August 30th, 1992. Well, that's really not good enough. I ought to be able to look back at December 31st, 2008 and say, look what God did for me. You know, there ought to be some things that God's done in our lives, and God ought to be working. Not so we can puff our chest out and stand up straighter and say, well, look what God does for me because it's me. But so when our children come by, here's the commemoration. They say, what mean these stones, Daddy? Well, God did something great for us on whatever. And make a note of it. Write it down. Write it down in your Bible. Write it down in your Bible. Then you can go back. You know, the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He went back and remembered all the good things that God had done for him. Went back and looked. I talked to a lady just yesterday, and I said, can you believe that it's already almost 2009? And she said, no, I can't. And she said, I'm glad. I'm ready to get 2008 behind us. And, you know, I kind of agree with her, but I don't want to just look at the bad of 2008. There was a lot of bad, no doubt about it. But I don't want to just look at the bad. I want to look back and see all that God did for us. My oldest daughter, Gracie, was baptized right back there in 2008. My middle daughter, Mia, was saved in 2008, right? I didn't get that wrong, did I? She was saved in 2008 or the end of 2007, so I'm counting it. I'm counting it anyway. She's saved. And Sammy is asking questions about Jesus. All these things. How many of the children, boys and girls, were saved in Vacation Bible School over the last year? How many people that we've seen saved in this auditorium right here in this last year? All the good things that God has done for us. And not just in 2008, but think of the long 55, 56 year history that this church has and all the great things that God has done with this church and the lives that God has influenced with this church over the last over 50 years. It's amazing what God has done. Some of you have been here for all of them, haven't you? Or most of them. Anybody here all 50 something years? Nobody? Anybody here 50 years? Ashley, did you raise your hand? It's amazing. God's used this church. 800 something people in here on a Sunday. Bus routes all over town. God's used this church. And we ought to look back on that and remember these things. And drive by and see East Sly Avenue Baptist Church. And when our children say, Daddy, what's that church there for? Well, God did some great things there. God did some great things there. Not just 30 years ago, but last year. God did some great things. You know, you can't see it, and you wouldn't even be able to see it if I took my coat off and rolled my sleeve up. And some of you don't know this. Most of you do. I'm clumsy. Very clumsy. I get scared when I'm pacing back and forth when I preach. I'm afraid I'm going to fall. And I get nervous when I get by the stairs. And everybody else does too. Because, am I too close? Because January, is this better? Of 2006, January of 2006, we had been at the church for 3 months. And I was asked to be in a skit at a Happy Saints Fellowship. There's one coming up next January. I'm not in it. I was Lord Licorice from Candyland. And Lord Licorice was supposed to be clumsy, so I was. And I tripped and fell all over the place on purpose, you know, playing around. Well, at one point I tripped and fell and I landed wrong and I dislocated both bones in my elbow. And that hurts very badly. And I can't straighten this elbow all the way, or this arm all the way, and there's a big scar about that long, about, I don't know, 4 inches, something like that long, right here, where they had to go in and remove a little piece of bone because I couldn't twist my arm that way. I could only go about that far. And anyway, I see that scar all the time. I look down and there's that scar. And it's a monument to God's grace And you laugh, and that's not supposed to be funny, because it's a monument, really. It's all Sister Diana Kidwell's fault. She asked me to be in the skit. And every time I look at that, I could remember how much it hurt, and I do. And if I see somebody else dislocate their elbow on TV or something like that, I remember, and it hurts even more. I could remember that. I could remember how one of the dear ladies that was there walked over and said, "Does that hurt?" "Where's his wife?" And she was, my wife was standing right there. "Where's his wife?" Anyway, I could remember all that. I could remember how I wasn't able to do the job I had because I had to drive a stick shift. And I could push the clutch in great, and I could steer good, but I couldn't do the shifter, you know, whatever you call it. Sorry. I couldn't shift. And so I couldn't work for a couple of months. I could think about all that, but I could also think about how through this, God gave me a better job. And I was able to take the teenagers to youth camp, able to do more things with the teenagers, and how God used it, how God brought us through it. And I didn't suffer at all. And my kids never went hungry, not once. And they had Christmas that next year and every year since. And we've been fine. And I remember that when I look at it. I also remember that every bone in Jesus' body was out of joint when he was crucified. And it reminds me of what Jesus did for me on the cross. When I look at that monument on my elbow, that monument there to God's grace in my life and in my family's life, that's commemoration. That's commemoration. The word Jordan, they crossed the Jordan River. The word Jordan means descent. And it descends, it flows all the way down to the Dead Sea. So as these children of Israel crossed the Jordan River, if I want to make an application, I could say that they crossed over. They were headed for death crossing the Jordan, and they entered into the Promised Land, the victorious Christian life. And we were on our way to death spiritually. We got saved. And then we walked around in the wilderness of sin for a little while. Now we're about to cross over again, cross over the Jordan River, on our way to death, a worthless, washed-up Christian life, castaway, the Apostle Paul said, cross over into the victorious Christian life. And when we do that, there's some evidence of it. And when we see that evidence, what God's done for us, we ought to remember it. We ought to talk about it. I want my children to know all these things. There's been times in our lives that we prayed for something, and an hour later, our prayer was answered, and we were able to explain to the kids, "Well, look what happened. We prayed that God would do this, and look, God did it." And they said, "Well, great, Daddy." They didn't know what was going on, really, but they saw that God answered the prayer, and these monuments of God's grace were built. Are you with me? Are you with me? We got to have those in our lives, not just for our children to remember, but look what the Bible says. In verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. That all the people of the earth, you know, we're being watched everywhere we go. And the world out there is watching to see how Christians are going to handle what went on in 2008. They're looking to see how we're going to handle all of this, and how we're going to handle the new leadership, and how we're going to handle everything that comes along, how we're going to handle everything, how we're going to handle it when the gas prices shoot up again, how we're going to handle it if things get worse and worse and worse, and 2009 is worse than it was in 2008. They're looking to see how we handle it. They're watching us. And there needs to be evidence in our life of God working each and every day, each and every month, each and every year of our lives. And we need to see how God's working. And so when they can look at our lives and they can say, "Wow, the hand of the Lord is mighty." God's doing some things. They're not defeated. Why am I defeated? They're not defeated. What's different about them? And then they're going to want it. That's the commemoration. The commemoration. That all the children and all the world may know. And people who get saved. People who get saved because of how they see us act. How they see us act and handle certain things. And handle certain things. So the construction, the commemoration, and now there's some conclusions that ought to be drawn. There's some conclusions. I made up my mind that I wasn't going to preach very long, and it looks like I'm not going to. This is the last point, point number three. It's 2 pages long, but, you know, it'll be all right. Conclusions. Some conclusions ought to be drawn. I want to remember these things, you know. I want to remember what God's done. I want to remember all the things that God's done in my life. I could go back, and we all could. We could spend hours and hours and hours. We could ring the new year in right here in this place, people going through and talking about all the good things that God's done for us. Amen? I mean, is that right? How many things God's done for us? I mean, we could just spend the evening, spend the week. We could spend all of 2009 going back and recounting our lives and how good God's been to us. And we need to build up some monuments. And we need to write them down. And we need to let other people see that. And we need to let our children see that. Because, maybe we don't remember. Maybe we don't remember. And if we don't remember, then our children will never know. And we'll raise up a generation after us that doesn't know God. Doesn't know how good God could be. That's the result if we don't remember. My little girls, boy and a girl in the nursery, those four, they won't know the Lord if I don't teach them. If I don't teach them that. My wife doesn't teach them that. We've got to remember these things. God has been good. Hasn't God been good to us? I mean, I think back and He has been just amazing. Amazing to us. It's amazing. My kids made out like bandits last Thursday. They got all kinds of stuff. I got all kinds of stuff. New games. Get to shoot bad guys. Get to play with race cars with my son. Made out like bandits. Now, God hasn't just been good to us with the material things. You know what I'm saying. God's been good to us. But there's some conclusions that'll be drawn. Our children and the whole earth are going to draw some conclusions. They're going to see those monuments after we've crossed over and after God's done these things in our lives, and they're going to see them, and they're going to draw some conclusions. Number one, they're going to remember to finish. Remember to finish. If you look in Joshua chapter 4, verse 9, the Bible says, "And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bear the ark of the covenant stood. And they are there unto this day." And before we go on, the priests are still in the middle of the river. And they're still in the middle of the Jordan River. And the waters are still parted. And they're still out there. And Joshua goes out and he builds a little monument right there in the Jordan River. Now verse 10, "For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over." Notice that, the first part of verse 10. They stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished. Until everything was finished. Now, we talked about beginning some things. We just need to begin some things on Sunday night. Just start it. If you need to read your Bible, just start. Just start reading your Bible. If you're not faithful to church, it's kind of hard to preach that to a Wednesday night crowd on New Year's Eve, but you know what I mean. Just start. Just start being faithful. If you don't pray like you ought to, start praying. If you don't pass out tracts like you ought to, just start. And we talked about that on Sunday night. But tonight I want to talk a little bit about finishing. We've got to finish some things. See it through. How many people do we know that start something great for God and then fizzle out? I went to Bible college with, I don't know how many guys that had surrendered to preach or surrendered to the mission field. And some of them are working here and there and not doing anything in the ministry. Nothing. I mean, I'm not talking about being bivocational. I'm talking about nothing in the ministry. Just fizzled out. They started, done. Nothing. Nothing. And it amazes me. Now, some are going, you know, right at it. We've talked about one, John Anderson, a good friend of mine I went to college with, going strong in England, and others. But some I know just didn't finish. We don't have to go very far in the Bible here in the book of Joshua to find people that didn't finish. In Joshua chapter 13, the Bible says in verse 1, in Joshua chapter 12, the Bible goes through and talks about 31 kings that Joshua and the children of Israel defeated. 31 of them. That's pretty good. 31. But then in Joshua 13, verse 1, the Bible says, "And Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said, Joshua, thou art old and stricken in years, and there yet remaineth much land to be possessed." In other words, Joshua, you're getting old, buddy. You got a lot of land to conquer. You better get busy. Finish. Finish. Finish strong. I've been studying the life of King Saul. King Saul. And he started out great. Great. Amazing. He was head and shoulders, of course, above all the rest. Somebody said that he may have been head and shoulders above the rest, but it needed to be heart. His heart needed to be above the rest. Didn't have his heart right with God. But he started out great, wonderfully. And I just read about him today in 1 Samuel. In fact, we can turn there. Let's look at it. 1 Samuel, chapter number, I'll tell you in a second. Chapter number 11. This is the story of how Saul delivered Jabesh-Gilead from Nahash, an Ammonite. They attacked the city, and the leaders there in Jabesh-Gilead said, "We want to make a covenant." He said, "Make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee," in verse 1, chapter 11. And Nahash said, "On this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel." All right, but I'm going to poke your right eyes out, and then we're going to talk bad about God, basically. But yeah, we'll make a deal with you. That's the deal. We're going to poke out your eyes and talk bad about your Lord, but yeah, we'll make a deal. We'll make a covenant with you. And so they said, "Well, give us 7 days to think about it," and they sent out messengers to see if people could come and help, and Saul came and helped and delivered Jabesh-Gilead from Nahash. And here's what the people said in verse 12. And the people said unto Samuel, "Who is he that said, shall Saul reign over us? Bring them in that we may put them to death." People had said Saul shouldn't be the king. And now they're saying, "Who said that? Let's kill him." "Who said that? He's a great guy. He helped us. We have both eyes because of him. Who is he that said, shall Saul reign over us? Bring them in that we may put them to death." And Saul said, "There shall not a man be put to death this day, for today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel." That's a great start, isn't it? That's a great start. We all know how he finished. Not well. Not well. Killed himself. Used his own sword. And we all know the story. I don't need to go into that. But the point I want to make tonight is we've started some things. We need to finish them. We need to see them through. We need to see them through. I became a husband June 30th, 2000. One. She's smiling. That means I'm right. June 30th, 2001. I need to see it through. I don't mean I want it to be over now. I'm kind of happy. But I need to see it through. I need to be the husband I ought to be. Keep being that husband. I need to be the guy she married. You know? And so do the rest of you men, by the way. Not just me. We need to be the right kind of husband. And you wives ought to be the right kind of wives for your husbands. Stay at it. Stay at it. I became a father July 25th, 2002. I need to see that through. You know? I need to keep being the kind of dad I ought to be. Finish strong. Finish strong. A lot of people start strong. Few finish strong. So I think one of the conclusions that were drawn here, these children could see these monuments and they found out the story of how God brought them across the Jordan River. Remember to finish. Remember to finish. Number two, quickly, remember to forget. Remember to forget. Back in Joshua chapter 4, verse 18. Remember to forget. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet were lifted up under the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks, as they did before." So they've crossed now, and the water goes back to where it was, right back to the way it used to be. And they looked across the Jordan, I'm sure, and thought, well, no turning back now. No turning back now. God's not going to part the Jordan for them to get back across and go back into Egypt. You know, they've started something. They got to finish it. And there's no turning back. Forget the things which are behind. Now, wait a minute. We're talking about remembering. Yeah. Remember all the good things that God's done for us. Remember all these monuments that we've set up and how God's done great things for us. How He saved our soul and how He helped us to get victory over sins in our lives and how He's done all these things. But there are some things we just ought to get over. You know? Some things we just ought to get over. Any kind of past hurts. I know they hurt. I've been hurt before. But you know, sometimes you just got to get over it. You know what I mean? You're going to hold on to it forever. And you're going to get bitter. And you're going to lose your joy. And it'll kill you. Really, it'll kill your Christian life. Some things you just got to get over. Past sins. Get over it. Stop it. Turn your back on it. You've already crossed the Jordan River. There's no turning back. It went back to the way it was before. Now it's flowing just as it did before. The Bible says in Philippians 3:13, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Right? I don't think I got that exactly right, but you know what I'm saying. Philippians 3:13. Forget the things which are behind and press toward the mark. There's some things we ought to forget. Some things we ought to get over. I think when they saw those stones, the children saw those stones, and the earth saw them, it taught them some lessons, and there's some conclusions that they should draw, and that they did draw from those stones. Number one, remember to finish. Number two, remember to forget. Forget. What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to that you ought to let go of? F.B. Meyer tells a story about how he gave the Lord a set of keys. And he said, here's the keys, Lord, to all of my life. And the Lord said, are they all there? And F.B. Meyer said, well, all but one. There's one little tiny key, and it's to a little pantry, a little cupboard, a little closet. But that's mine, Lord. You don't need to worry about that. And the Lord said, okay, here you go. And he gave him his keys back and turned to leave. And as the Lord was leaving, he said, if you can't trust me with all, you can't trust me at all. And so F.B. Meyer said, okay, here you go. Here's the key to that closet. And he said within a month or two, God had cleaned it all out, cleaned it up, just like it ought to be. What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? 2008's over in 4 hours and 5 minutes. Over. 4 hours and 5 minutes. What are you holding on to? Press forward. Move forward for Christ into 2009 and build other monuments. Other monuments of God's grace. Number three, not only should we remember to finish, remember to forget, but remember to fear. Remember to fear. Verse 24, the Bible says that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Fear. Stand in awe of the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, the Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is it. Right here. All of it. In a nutshell. Two things. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. That's it. Fear God. Revere God. In other words, God ought to have the right place in our life. He ought to have the right place in our life. And if He doesn't, or didn't in 2008, He ought to in 2009. He ought to. Remember to fear. Remember to fear God. Remember to finish. Remember to forget. But make sure God has the right place in your life. If He doesn't have the right place in your life, then you'll never conquer any of these lands in Canaan land, in the victorious Christian life. You'll never have any victory in your life if God doesn't have the right place in your life. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Does God have the proper place in your life? I know this was a simple message, and I'm done. I'm done. A very simple message. We've crossed over the Jordan River. headed for death, but now we're in the victorious Christian life. And we built some monuments. And when the children ask, what mean these stones? I think we can tell them three things. Remember to finish. Remember to forget. And remember to fear. Remember to fear. Let God have the right place in your life. So I've got four questions. Four questions. Number one, is the only evidence of God in your life your salvation? Is the only evidence of God in your life your salvation? If so, get it right. Let God do some things. Yield to Him. Let Him do some great things in your life. Start some things like we talked about Sunday night. Stick your feet in the water and get them wet. Get them wet. Let God do some things. Let God do some things. Not just for your sake, but for your children. For your children, for your co-workers, for the people you meet at the grocery store. Let them see what God's doing in your life. Number one, is the only evidence of God in your life your salvation? Number two, do you need to finish something you've started? You need to finish something you've started. Many people start stuff, but few finish. Number three, are there any past hurts you are holding on to? Listen, I know they hurt. I know I just said this, but I really know they hurt. I've been hurt, and I have hurt. I've been hurt, and I have hurt. And it hurts. It really hurts. And it's hard to get over it. Hard. But we have to. We have to. We'll never be who we ought to be for Christ unless we just get over it. You gotta get over it. Move past it. Are there any past hurts you're holding on to? Are there any past sins you're holding on to? And finally, does God have the proper place in your life? Number four takes care of all the rest. If God has the proper place in your life, you're not going to hold on to anything you shouldn't hold on to. And if God has the proper place in your life, you're going to finish what you started. He is the author and finisher of our faith. If God has the proper place in our life, then we'll have many evidences of God at work in our life. So that's the main question. Number four, does God have the proper place in your life? And let's build up some monuments. Not just monuments from 30 years ago when we were running 800 and something people here, but monuments of today, and what God's done. There's still 4 hours or so left in 2008. Go lead someone to Christ. We're going to go get a pizza. I'm going to make sure I have some gospel tracts. Give them to the pizza guy. I was going to say he's probably upset about having to work, but I'm sure he's making money. We're going to give it to the pizza guy, you know? Lead someone to Christ. Start 2009 out that way. Let's set up some monuments to the Lord. In this place, when people drive by the East Sly Avenue Baptist Church, they can say, wow, look what God's doing now, not just look what God did then, you know? But not just for this church, but for each one of us individually. I want God to do something great in my life. I said Sunday night, I don't want to find myself on the wrong side of the Jordan. I don't want to find myself on the right side of the Jordan and still with no victories. Still with no victories. So let's, as we head into 2009, I'm trying to find a place to land. I want you to know I'm really trying hard to find a place to land. As we head into 2009, let's build up some monuments. Amen? Let's remember what God's done for us. And let Him do some more things for us. Heavenly Father, thank You for this night. Lord, forgive me for rambling on. God, I pray that we'll get a hold of this. I pray that we'll finish what we start. And we'll get over some things we ought to get over. And I pray that we'll fear You, that You'll have the proper place in our life. Lord, help us to move forward for Christ. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, will you stand with me tonight? I know I kept you longer than I planned.